On Monday night, months of planning and campaigning culminated in the 2020 Iowa caucuses. Iowans across the state went to one of 1,600 precincts to voice who they thought the party should nominate to face President Donald Trump in November's election. But what is this caucus thing that only three states in the country use? And how did it get so messed up that people are calling for it to be the last Iowa caucus ever? 14 East traveled to Iowa to see what this nearly 50-year tradition is all about. I'm Brita Hunnigs. We're going to go back to Monday night to see how it all worked and maybe figure out what exactly went wrong. We traveled to Mount Vernon, Iowa. It's a town with a population of just under 5,000. It's home to Cornell College, a small liberal arts school. The caucus was held in their gymnasium, and it meant there were a lot of college students caucusing there. It also meant the crowd skewed more progressive than in other precincts. In the, well, normal voting process, you cast a blind ballot at a polling site and go on your merry way. But a caucus, which literally means a gathering of like-minded individuals or members of the same group, entails a much more interactive approach. Since 1972, Iowa has been the state that kicks off the election cycle by holding their caucuses before any other state has voted on who they want the party nominee to be. It's a point of pride for Iowans that they set the precedent for the impending election cycle. Their 56 delegates aren't consequential, but winning there sets a standard for the rest of the season, and that's what makes the caucuses so tantalizing. 7 of 10 eventual Democratic nominees have won the Iowa caucus, hence the amount of resources and energy campaigns put into building support there.
Are you guys already registered to vote?
Yes.
Are you registered Democrat?
Yes.
Okay, then all you have to do is check in here. Are you registered to vote?
Yes.
As a Democrat?
Yes.
Okay, then find the sign that matches with your last name, check in, and then I'll move you into the gym, okay?
People start filing into the building at about 7 p.m., swapping the chilly Iowa night for the humid gymnasium. Maggie Willems is the quintessential Iowa Democrat. She's a social studies teacher and was caucusing as a precinct leader for Buttigieg. She brought all three of her kids with her.
I was born in Iowa in 1978. I left for about 8 years to go to college and grad school, lived in Nebraska, and then I moved back, so most of my life. Although there have been some changes this year, which are encouraging to me because I, you know, first-time caucus goers, most of them will say, I'm excited, but I'm anxious. I don't know what to expect. This is our youngest daughter, Marley.
How old are you, Marley?
6 3/4.
Can you tell her who you're supporting?
Tom Steyer.
Yeah, why are you supporting Tom Steyer, but Mom's supporting Mayor Pete?
Because he looks like Johnny.
From Karate Kid. I have two other daughters. One would support Biden and one is undecided. They are 10 and 9. My husband is actually running the caucus, but a Biden supporter, so we do not support the same candidate in our house. It's the first time in our relationship that has been true. That has been interesting. We were both raised in very politically active families. I always say it's the gift of being an Iowan. This is what Iowans do. This is who we are. When I'm having a glass of wine or a cup of coffee with a friend, this is what we're talking about. And we really, as a result, delve very deeply into the policies and the little nuanced differences. So I think Iowans really take this process very seriously.
A captain is a volunteer for the campaign that works to get as much support behind a certain candidate as possible leading up to and at the caucus. It's important to get as many people on your team as possible. If a candidate fails to get at least 15% of the room, they are no longer viable to be awarded delegates. Matthew Keating came from Boston to be a precinct captain for Biden.
Trying to convince as many young people here in Iowa and Iowans in general to caucus for Joe. I've been here for the past 5 days now. Joe is the strongest candidate to win the general election in November. He is a commander-in-chief that's ready to lead on day one. Now we are in the pre-caucus stage, so we have members of all the different candidates' parties essentially getting set up right now, and then the Board of Elections is really kind of taking charge at this point, making sure that all the candidates have, you know, their space to do their caucus thing, and to greet and register voters. And since this isn't by college campus, there's obviously lots of new voters, or new caucusers, I should say, that are here to register, which is really exciting. This is my first Iowa caucus. I know to expect a little bit of everything, a little bit of madness, get as many people from non-viable candidates or other candidates who are looking to switch into your caucus. And so that's what I'm really looking forward to, is kind of that persuasion mode of the caucus tonight.
Almost immediately, the bleachers with Senator Bernie Sanders supporters start filling up.
What are your names?
I'm Amy Tallman.
I'm Elizabeth Byland.
My name is Paige Pritchard.
And are you guys students?
Yeah. All students.
You're from Iowa?
I am from Iowa.
We're both from Chicago.
Yeah. Have you been to a caucus before?
Yes. I caucused in 2016 for Bernie Sanders.
Okay. And now you're here again for Bernie.
Absolutely.
And you're all here for Bernie. Yes,
indeed.
Why?
I want a progressive candidate for the Democratic Party, and Bernie is the progressive candidate.
And what was your last caucus experience like?
I mean, it wasn't quite like this. It was more so in a small room, and that was when there was, like, Hillary and Bernie, just kind of like two groups of about 50 people each in just like a small church. It's not as exciting and buzzing as this is. So this is pretty cool.
And are you guys, what are you expecting out of this?
I don't know. I don't really know what to expect. Being from Chicago, like, we obviously don't caucus in Illinois, so it's all kind of a new experience and something interesting to kind of see happen around us.
The most iconic aspect of the Iowa caucuses are the relevance of uncommitted voters. That is, people who show up still unsure of who they're supporting. There was a small section of uncommitteds towards the back of the gym. Paul Fugid was one of those select few.
Have you caucused before?
Yes.
Have you usually been uncommitted?
No. There's a lot of choices this time around. It's more of a mixed bag. There's about six candidates who, you know, have a legitimate shot of winning this time, and that's makes it a little more harder to choose. And I kind of want to see which group has the most energy tonight, because usually the group with the most energy can go on and win.
How long do you think it's going to take for you to get convinced? Or what's it going to take?
After the first vote, probably. Because I don't think we'll be viable enough on our own. There's only, looks like, six of us right now, and I don't like the caucus process. It takes too long. I'd just rather go into a ballot booth and just mark a number. Here it's going to take probably at least two times to narrow it down to viability, maybe three, depending on this side of Mount Vernon, due to this being where Cornell College is. So we'll see how it goes. So
back in Sanders' section, Bill and Lori Nimi explain that though they enjoy being active in the caucus process, they don't think it's feasible for everyone to do so. This is something that makes them question its entire legitimacy.
One thing that we can do that gets us through the wall of being armchair activists and, you know, actually voting with your feet, so that's why we're here tonight. We support Bernie financially as well.
But you feel like this is more of an active role?
Absolutely.
Do you think that all states should have caucuses like this?
No. I mean, there are many, many disadvantages to this. You know, if you're old, if you're infirm, if you don't have a car, if you're working during this time of the day, there's all kinds of reasons why those groups are underrepresented here.
Alex Nelson and Greta Levy are student organizers for Warren on campus at Cornell. Neither are from Iowa, and at the beginning of the night, they strategize ways to get more people on Warren's side.
I'm nervous and excited. It's a bit different so far than I expected it.
One of the things that I've learned from working with the Warren campaign is just to be as nice as you can, even if you don't agree with somebody, even to the people who are Steyer supporters, who I don't know how they're Steyer supporters, but there's a saying, if Warren's not your first choice, we want to be your second choice. And so that's what I think we're really trying to do, because I feel like a lot of people come in really set on who their candidate is, and we're trying to be nice to get the undecided ones and also to let the people know who they have decided that, hey, if it doesn't go your way, you can still come over and join Elizabeth.
It's not uncommon for diehards for a certain candidate to walk around the caucus pleading their case to the uncommitted.
I'm undecided. I'm undecided personally.
Did I just walk in on you guys trying to convince him to go to Bernie?
Yeah, I'm a little undecided too. I got a sticker, but I also got a Warren sticker on it.
Oh, you are committed to Bernie.
Yeah.
And what arguments are you trying to use to convince? convince them to come to your side?
Basically, I just asked him what he cares about, and I'm just trying to connect with that.
Are you guys friends already?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do know him, yeah. Okay.
This is my second caucus. I caucused when I was 17 and a half. I was, like, ready.
That was Josie, a student at Cornell who's passionate that caucuses are the way to vote.
I also feel like I'm pretty undecided, and I don't feel strongly enough right, like, at this moment that had it not been a caucus, I would have, like, turned out for a primary, right? Like, I'm turning out for a caucus because I have the opportunity to, like, discuss where I might end up. Whereas in, like, a primary, it's like, fill it out. Take your pick. You don't have a pick. Don't vote.
The first order of business is to elect a permanent chair and a permanent secretary for the caucus. The Lynn County Democrats have nominated me, Nate Willems, as the temporary chair. Seeing no other nominations for permanent chair, all in favor of electing Nate Willems, say aye.
Aye.
Here's Nate, Maggie's husband and the chair of the caucus, getting the official business in order. Later, Nate invited representatives of each candidate to make a final pitch for why caucusers should join their candidate's coalition. I asked Paul if any of the speeches were convincing for him.
No. Because it's all stuff I've heard before. So that's one reason why.
You're still staying over and uncommitted.
Yes, for now, yeah.
First, we're going to be passing out these presidential preference cards. These are brand new. Nobody's ever used, even if you're a long-time officer, you've never used one of these before. This is a new phenomenon. You will not sign this until we're given further direction.
They passed out the voter cards to determine just how many people were caucusing. Once each person was counted, the secretary of the caucus began tabulating what the threshold of viability was. The caucuses for businessmen Andrew Yang and Tom Steyer, Senator Amy Klobuchar, and former Vice President Joe Biden were all immediately disqualified. At this point, the intensity ratcheted up with the other three candidate groups trying to get the disbanded on their sides. But the Klobuchar and Biden supporters weren't easily persuaded as they attempted to strategize with each other.
Right now we're talking about uncommitted.
Why is that the preference?
If you do uncommitted, you get one delegate if we bring us both together, and they're pretty closely aligned anyway, and so when they go to the convention, in their back pockets, they would have the best interests of the Klobuchar and Biden issues in mind. It's a voice, but it's kind of half of a voice. We need 25 to have an Amy on her own, and they need about 25 as well. We're really close.
By this point, Paul had made up his mind that he was going to remain unaligned with anyone.
I don't think I'm going to support anybody tonight.
Really? Why?
Each one to me just has a flaw. I just can't look over.
But Alex, the campus leader for Warren, did end up being able to recruit people to the senator's side.
It was a lot of strategy, actually. So a lot of, like, the person I mentioned said that they didn't want one candidate to take away the narrative of this race and win in a landslide in the caucus. And I basically said, well, to make sure that doesn't happen, let's make sure that there's a lot of competition with the Sanders campaign.
Meanwhile, members of the Warren, Buttigieg, and Sanders camps began to leave. In the past, in order to be counted, each person had to stay for the entirety of the caucus. But a new rule implemented this year allowed that after a candidate was determined viable in the first round, their caucusers could go home. The gym began to empty, but the tension remained for some.
It's time for a woman in the White House. Warren!
Obviously, we came in to the caucus as an underdog, being such a Sanders stronghold, but there's still energy, especially among other campaigns, to unite behind Biden.
Austin Ramat spent the night campaigning for Andrew Yang. But in the second round, after the Yang group had to dissolve, he made the switch to Warren.
The reason I was here was to promote ideas more than a candidate. And from here, we send on delegates to the county, and they get to decide kind of what our policy is. the way to have the most influence on that policy is to know the person who's going to be going. The person who's going to be going is a friend of mine. I believe that those ideas can still be promoted even under Warren's banner here. I'm more interested in the ideas than the person. It's just kind of fascinating because, you know, if this were just a vote, I would have gone in, ticked the box for Yang, and been done. But instead, I got to stand over there and have all my friends surround me and try to persuade me and, you know, for a moment was, you know, the most popular person in the room, and it was very entertaining.
I checked in with Matthew, who didn't inspire the level of enthusiasm for Biden as he'd hoped he'd would.
Obviously, we came in to the caucus as an underdog, being such a Sanders stronghold, but there's still energy, especially among other campaigns, to unite behind Biden.
What's your name?
Erin Mills.
And so, and you're helping out?
Okay, yeah.
Where's Terry?
Yes.
So what happens now?
I'll explain it.
Well, now we have to double check our numbers, and then we have to enter it all in an app on Nate's phone.
What's the app?
Every caucus shares. Has an app that is reporting to the national, or not the national, the state party.
As I was asking about this new app system, Nate broke in with the results. At this point, no one was yet aware of the chaos that was about to ensue.
One campaign source says that the results app that they were using, this was a new app that they were supposed to be reporting each result from each precinct location around the state, has not been working, and the phone backup system that they had in place, according to one source, is a disaster.
Reporting the considerable flaws in tonight's Iowa caucus reporting system. The app that was intended to relay caucus results to the party failed. The party's backup telephonic reporting system likewise has failed. Now we understand that caucus chairs are attempting to, and in many cases failing, to report results telephonically to the party. These acute failures are occurring statewide.
But back at the caucus, I wanted to catch up with Maggie and see how she felt everything went.
You know, the Biden-Klobuchar attempt to realign and then the uncommitted attempt slowed things down a little bit, but that's also part of the process. Like, that's part of what's supposed to happen. And then people ultimately, I think, feel good about where they landed, even if it wasn't their first choice. They feel like the process was fair. So from, you know, the Pete campaign perspective, I think it was great to be able to grab two delegates out of this precinct.
And how do you think Nate did?
Nate did well organizing it. Being a teacher, I might have tried to move things a little bit faster, but that can also offend people if you're trying to rush them through a process that needs to be done with integrity. So, yeah, I appreciate the work that he did.
But DNC Chair Tom Perez has called for the Iowa Democratic Party to do an entire recount of the caucuses. There's been national outrage over the inefficiency and convolution that occurred. In Mount Vernon, there's no consensus over whether the caucus process is archaic and outdated or a productive tradition. The same question seems to be on the minds of people across the country. This might just be the sound of cleaning up the last of the Iowa caucuses.
Thank you.